Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities, Ohio. And we got a really good guest on for you today. But before I go any farther, I would like to bring your host on, Ms. Shekinah. Go ahead on, Ms. Shekinah.
Well, hey, Ohio. Thank you for tuning in. If you are here for the live stream, welcome. If you're going to see this recorded, thank you. And we have a wonderful guest for you today. This gentleman is a Bible scholar and a father and a pastor and an all-around good man of God. And I thought that it would be important to bring him on so that he can share his insight as a scholar to things that he has found that maybe we don't understand. And so I am so happy and thankful to bring to you Mr. Caleb Ben Yehuda. Welcome. Can you tell us a little about you?
Well, thank you. I'm absolutely elated and delighted and also grateful for the invitation to join you all here on Blog Talk Radio today. I've got a huge grin on my face. You all are just precious people, and I love you. You're wonderful. Thank you.
Glory to God. Well, thank you very much. Well, guys, today's show, we are going to talk about the secrets of Christianity. I know that there are a lot of things that are going on. There are a lot of people saying things. There are a lot of doctrines of devils, quite frankly. And so I have brought a man of God to share some light on some things that have been hidden from us because of prophecy. But without further ado, I'm going to go into my first question, and I'd like you to tell us a little bit about yourself. Help us explain who you are.
Absolutely. Thank you, sister.
You're so welcome.
I am Pastor Caleb Fari Ben Yehuda, Caleb, which my first name, and this is my spiritual name. Of course, we know that the name Caleb with a B is common in the Bible, but the Ben Yehuda, of course, that also is my Hebrew name, and as we know, Scripture tells us if my people who are called by my name,
yes,
will humble themselves and pray. So, yes, indeed, as a person who has accepted the Messiah as my God, my Savior, my Redeemer, my King, my everything, hello,
yes,
plus the fact that he literally does rule and reign on the throne right now, and
yes,
also because of the fact that we as one people, I'm talking about the community of blood-bought believers in him. This is one of the reasons why the name Yehuda is very important, because it reflects that I'm married to him, see, that we are married to him. And by the way, just so folks can understand, we can get into it later, but even men have both a male and female aspect to our identity, and that's something that, of course, Shekinah, we can wind up discussing later, because a lot of people often have had the question, hey, I don't understand that Bible passage where in the book,
yeah,
of Genesis we notice,
yeah,
that
yeah,
God,
and you know,
made
you,
them
you bring
male
up,
and female.
You bring up a really good point, because I have noticed that when I am telling people, you don't have to agree with what my understanding is of the Bible, and I try to have God understanding, because he tells me not to yield to my own. But if you tell me that you don't agree with me, then you have to show me passages, and not just one.
That's
you
it.
Have to show me different areas to prove, yeah, what you're saying is indeed a thing. And I find that when people try to do that, they give me scriptures that don't even match what we're talking about. It happens often. And so that tells me that there are a lot of people that don't understand how to read the Word of God.
Right. Absolutely right. Well, you know, it's interesting you should mention that critical point there, and that some people don't know how to read the Word of Yahuwah. And I must admit that even as a young teenager who was raised in Christianity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like a, you know, your typical American, raised with a Bible in the home, went to church every Sunday. The young teenage boy, I went through the Pentecostal experience of baptism, being filled with the Holy Spirit, if you will.
Yes.
The Pentecostals call it with the evidence of speaking in tongues.
Yes.
Been
yes.
there, done that. And I've worked with a number of outstanding international ministries in the whole bit. But to get back to the point, little did I know, even after attending a Bible college seminary, little did I know that I really didn't know how to answer the question, who put my Bible together?
Right.
Who put that right. Bible together?
But wait. I think you're going to go real deep for the people right now, and that's great. I want to do that in a second, but I first want the people to really understand who you are and the authority that you have in which you come. So let me just ask you another question. How long have you been a Bible scholar, and how many, you said that you grew up in the church, so let us know how long your experience is and exactly how God has matured you to have this position.
Wow. Okay, great. Well, here I stand today at 57 years old. I'm going to go back to the mid-70s, around 1976,
okay,
when I had my, if you will, Holy Ghost baptism experience at a wonderful Church of God in Christ church in my hometown of St. Louis. Make a long story short, between the 70s and the 80s, I went on to attend Lehigh University Bible College, and I earned my bachelor's degree, went on to matriculate from American Christian College and Seminary in Oklahoma, and earned my master's in divinity. I've traveled the world working with ministries. In fact, one of my very best friends in the world, Bishop Stephen David Kalyanapu, I was blessed to help plant over, well over 250 churches throughout India. I've been all over South Africa, Pretoria, Congo, Kenya. Oh my goodness. In the late 90s.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome.
Been there, done that on the Christian scene, if you will, you know, from being senior pastor, associate pastor,
yes,
Bible college, the whole bit. So the point being that...
So how many years would you say that you were a Christian?
Oh, my goodness. It's been a good 30, 35 years in,
okay,
nice, if you will, Orthodox Christianity, okay?
Now, if you don't consider yourself a Christian, then what type of banner are you under? I'm using the word religion just for the sake of people that are listening. I know that that's not what it is, but just for the people to correlate that. But what religion or banner would you say that you're under now that you are not considered a Christian?
Okay. I really feel blessed at this point in my life to be, okay, sovereign.
Yeah.
I really got to let that sink in.
Yeah.
I'm,
yes, that
sovereign
righteousness that was accredited to Abraham. Yes.
That's it. I do not ascribe to any religious order, what have you. We could name all kinds of stuff. Now, in terms of, I don't want to jump the gun, but I'm saying in terms of my identity, in terms of being a bloodline descendant of the Hebrew patriarchs, okay, Abraham,
yes,
Isaac,
but wait,
Jacob,
wait,
and
yes,
Moses.
Wait. I'm ready too. We're getting the people ready. We're letting them see who you are, so that when we bring this information, they know that you're not just some guy that walked in off the street. Ladies and gentlemen,
sure,
I brought him to you because this is a true man of God that has put in a lot of work in both the earth realm and the spiritual realm to get to where he is. So I ask that you receive everything that he says to consider it. God says to test the spirit. So I'm not saying just ever believe anybody, because he also tells us not to put trust into a man. But it's wise to consider a thing before you dismiss it. So take in everything that we're going to talk about, and you ask God about it. You open up your word, and you start figuring out what these people are talking about, because if it's true, it will change your life. So to jump back in, you told me something yesterday. You also teach Hebrew, correct?
That's correct. Yes, I do.
That is fantastic. So you not only have denounced religion, but you have gone back to Israel, which is where it all began, and got the book that originated there, and then learned the language so that you can bypass the translation. That's really, really smart. Now, if anyone in our audience wanted to learn how to do that, how would you recommend that they do it?
Well, there's actually some wonderful online tools. I would start, number one, by telling folks either step one, you know, buy a Tanakh, T-A-N-A-K-H, T-A-N, the letter N, A-K-H, okay?
Buy Wait, let me make sure I got it. Did you say T as in Thomas, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, A as in Apple, K as in Kelly, H as in Hot?
That is correct. Tanakh.
Okay, perfect.
Now,
perfect.
Right. The Tanakh is basically a Hebrew Bible, and I've got to emphasize this, a Hebrew Bible without the vowel points. In other words, there are two forms of Hebrew. We have the ancient Paleo-Hebrew, or what some scholars refer to as Biblical Hebrew. But then we also have what we call modern Hebrew, and that happens to be, just point blank, the language of the colonizers, okay, or the European colonizers of the African Hebrew religion. And the Eurocentric form of the Hebrew language, again, I'm referring to modern Hebrew, that's where vowel points have been added, okay? And we want to be really what you want to do when you're dealing with modern Hebrew is have in your hand, okay, a Paleo-Hebrew comparison, because the sense or the meaning of words can radically change. See?
For sure, for sure. Just like how you're saying it's different from the Bible that we read and even the translated Hebrew, the colonized
sure.
Hebrew. It's still
sure.
different. And so by us, basically, we're two systems removed from the truth when we don't go directly to the source. Now, I know that this is going to be hard for some of you to wrap around your mind, especially if it's the first time that you're hearing it. And you can listen to this thing over and over because it will be recorded so that you can get to the thick of it. But I want to jump right in and ask you what your beliefs are on the matter of the Messiah, and how did you come to that conclusion?
Okay, wonderful question. And I get excited about this particular topic, because when we're dealing with the Messiah or the Mashiach, absolutely nothing is more important. And I'm going to speak quickly, and we can go back, because I'm going to try to condense 20 years of exhaustive study, research, prayer, dealing with other Hebrew scholars, experts in etymology or the languages, the whole bit. So I'm going to speak a little quickly on this. Number one, we've got to remember that the scriptures are very clear, and that is when we go back and we revisit the birth of the Messiah, we notice something very interesting. When Miriam, I'm using the Hebrew name of Virgin Mary, when she was pregnant with child, okay, she was told that the master's name would be called what? Emmanuel.
Yes.
Okay, his name would be called Emmanuel. Very interesting, because we don't see that name appear anymore after that. Now, that's a Hebrew name. Okay, and we should underscore that. The reason why this is important is because when we want to know who Messiah is, he made it clear that I am coming in my Father's name.
Yes.
Now, if we go back 2,000 years ago, this is critical to understand this. It's one thing for a king to send an ambassador or a representative or an agent,
yes,
okay, to negotiate a deal on his behalf. But watch this. That's not what the Son did. We know that the prophet said that when Messiah would come, his name would be called Wonderful. I'm referring to the prophet Isaiah. His name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, what else? Okay. Everlasting Father, see Prince of Peace. My perspective of the Messiah is based on the ancient Hebrew understanding of who God is. He is El Elyon, the God above all gods. Now watch this. We have to understand that when we say that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess,
yes,
to that mighty name, here's what Christians don't understand. They do not understand that the El Elyon of the Old Covenant, the God above all gods, not only did he wrap himself in a body of flesh and visit this earth as our Savior, but when he destroyed death and conquered it and rose again, okay, that Yahuwah, the Father, caused him to be highly exalted and seated on the throne of glory, even above himself. In fact, in the book of Philippians chapter 2, we notice that Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it teaches us that he was exalted above every name, but that in that name, all the fullness of the Godhead, literally, all the fullness, catch that, all the fullness of the Godhead exists in that name, but that Jesus was highly exalted, we find in Philippians chapter 2. When you look that up, we'll find an interesting term used in the Greek language, huperutsu. Huperutsu. Huperutsu is the Greek term you'll see there, because the Greeks didn't quite know how to explain the work of a king promoting someone above even a king. This is huge what I'm saying here, because what the Savior whom we worship, he's no longer just the Son of the Father, but he's the fullness of the Father, but he's even exalted above the Father to the extent that every knee bows to him. And that's the mystery of the entire book of Revelation, because, quite again, the Eurocentric Christian church did not understand.
Well, let's take a step back. So with who the Messiah is to you, and you beautifully put it, and I am truly hoping that everyone that hears this is going to catch his understanding of who the Messiah is. So those of you out there who don't understand the Trinity and you think that it's just one person, but that God wouldn't create aids for himself, you're in error. And the way that it was just explained will really help you understand that illustration. But Mr. Yehuda, I wanna go back and talk about who the Savior was when he walked this earth, what your belief is on his image, and how you came to that conclusion, what scriptural places that you can give the audience so that they can go and reference these things for themselves to help them understand where you're coming from.
Sure, absolutely. Again, I must refer to scripture, not my opinion. So that's an excellent question. I just mentioned Philippians chapter 2. We noticed something very interesting in Paul's letters to the believers in Philippi. in that chapter 2, we notice how Paul mentioned that how Jesus Christ was, how God was fashioned in the form of a man. But he goes on, Paul goes on to explain that he humbled himself. Okay? Again, he's explaining that the omnipresent, omniscient, all-powerful creator of the universe literally humbled himself and became a man, and he humbled himself to the point, again, Philippians chapter 2.
Yes, the meek shall inherit the whole kingdom.
Yes. He humbled himself to the point of being obedient even to the death of the cross.
Yes.
So this is where we get a clear understanding that, indeed, we are dealing with the creator of the universe visiting the earth in a body of flesh and humbling himself to become the servant of men. We also find this echoed in the first two chapters in the book of Hebrews, where Paul also writes, where he explains who the Messiah is, and he uses very interesting terms such as how that he is the very brightness of the glory of God Almighty. See? So, again, so we are dealing with a God concept that is so profound and awesome, see, in terms of who our Savior is, that truly we can't, our finite mind really cannot grasp the infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. We will never know the mind of God. Right? We can never assume that we know him, but we can know his voice. And we know his voice by reading the word of God. If you never meet a person, you can't guess what their voice sounds like. But when you're in his word and you're reading about him and you're reading how he's handling situations, what he doesn't like, understand what you have to do to be presentable. And
yes.
That's
now, may I drop a bomb on you?
Oh, go
may
ahead.
I drop a revelation?
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
In Christianity, I was taught it. Everyone in Orthodox Christianity is taught the doctrine of the Trinity. Okay. I personally don't have a problem with it. Let me just put it this way. In light of the Hebrew or the Hebraic understanding of the Most High, okay, there's no such thing as God in three separate and distinct persons. Let me be real clear here. In the Council of Nicaea, 324 A.D., the doctrine of the Trinity, okay, was defined as God who exists as three separate and distinct persons, meaning that the Father is fully God, the Son is fully God, okay, and the Holy Spirit is fully God.
Right,
okay?
Right. Without putting putting those relationships into perspective. So
yes.
The reality is the whole. I mean, they are gods. Even in the Bible, we are referred to as gods, little g. They're
yes.
gods, even on a level higher than us. But you can never be higher than the Creator. When the Son
yes.
was here, he only gave reverence to his Father. He said that he
yes.
was created by him. He said, I'm only
right.
about my Father's business. There's a distinction. They can
yes.
never be above God, but they've done such a work that he lets them sit beside him. But Satan tells us that you can lose your spot if you do the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, here's how much of a terrible work the Eurocentric concept of God has totally messed up. Okay. The African or the Nubian teachings. The bottom line is that the Hebrew word for the Spirit of the Most High, okay, in fact, some folks refer to the glory of the Lord as the Shekinah or the Shekinah, Okay.
Wait. You're about to. Nope. We're about to go into a whole nother. We can do a whole nother show about the glory. We were talking for 2 hours about the glory.
Yeah, yeah.
But before we touch on the glory, I want to make sure that we do touch on the image of the Savior and what has been presented in Christianity versus what you have found being a scholar and actually wanting to dig in and see what the truth is.
Okay. Well, what we know to be true about the image of the Nubian Messiah, and of course, when I use the word Nubian, I'm referring to the true black Savior who walked the earth 2,000 years ago. We know that from Matthew chapter 1, or Matthew, but Matthew chapter 1, we know that he was a very, very black man, okay? He was not Arab-looking in appearance. He certainly was not. But he was as black could be. How do we know this? Well, in Matthew, in the book of Matthew chapter 1, we find that when King Herod was about the business of trying to kill all of the Hebrew male children, we remember, and the scripture's clear, how the angel visited Miriam and Joseph and told them to do what? Told them, go back.
But let me ask you, if you're saying that the Messiah, and please understand, I'm talking to you as an interviewer right now, but I absolutely agree with you. But if you're saying that the Messiah is brown, if you're saying that the Messiah looked like me and that he's not that European image that comes under the banner of Christianity and Catholics, if this is what you're saying, who are those Jewish people over in Israel right now? And how do they become a nation in one day to fulfill what we think is prophecy?
Okay. Excellent question. The current occupants of the land of Israel at this time, folks could write the word down, okay, they are Khazarians. They are European Khazars. That's spelled with a K-H-A-Z-A-R, Khazar, okay?
Okay.
In 740 A.D., all right, in the year 740 A.D., the Khazarian Empire basically essentially launched an invasion, moving down into literally what we call ancient Nubia. In other words, that entire land mass from Israel, Palestine, moving down into Egypt. Okay, so you can picture that in your head. Israel, Palestine, that entire West Bank area, moving all the way down into Egypt, even Ethiopia and Sudan. In the Egypt area, basically what happened was the European Khazars went into North Africa, okay, specifically Israel, conquered that land, and in so doing,
yes.
over
yes.
a period
what
of years.
What year was that? They fought the Arabs, right? It's called the Arab War, I believe.
That is correct.
Where Israel fought the Arabs. And just to pause really quick, if you all that are listening, if you know prophecy, God makes mention that when the children of Israel gets back into their land, there will be no more war.
That's correct.
And there has been nothing but war since they fought that war to get into that place. But
see?
Let me ask you, Pastor, let me wait a minute, because I think we're probably ringing an alarm for some people, so I don't want us to rush through this. I don't want us to go too fast for those who might have heard this for the first time. So if you're telling us that the Savior looks like us, he's black, melanin, if you're saying this and you're saying that the Jewish people over in Israel right now are not the people and that the Word of God proves that they are not the people, then who are the children of Israel? Who are his descendants? Are they still alive? Did they all die out? Please tell us.
Let me let the audience know you are listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, Ohio, and the special guest is Mr. Kevin Ben Yehuda. And so if you want to ask a question, please press 1, and we'll let you in. Go ahead,
yes,
on, Mr.
Yes,
Kevin.
Yes, guys, please do. We encourage any questions that you have. Call in if you have them. We're open.
Okay. The current people inhabiting the modern-day land of Israel are, bottom line, they are imposters. Now, let me clarify something, okay? There are beautiful, peace-loving, okay, pure-in-heart Jewish people that
sure.
I even work with on
sure.
a regular basis. So
sure.
I have to
sure.
checkmate.
It's like they were born into a lie just like some other people are too.
Exactly, exactly. And that's all it is. So the reason I have to mention that, I must mention it, because someone
yeah.
would accuse me of being anti-Semitic. Well, first of all, Jews
oh,
are
actually,
not
please
Semitic
don't give me
people.
Don't get us started on anti-Semitic, honey, because being people
oh,
being
no,
afraid
no.
of being called anti-Semitic is why we believe a lie. So right
yes.
here, we tell the truth. And if the truth hurts a feeling, we're very sorry, but it is the truth. And if you
yeah,
want to
yeah,
call
yeah.
us anti-Semitics, my feelings aren't going to be hurt at all.
Yeah. It's real easy to find out who the true Hebrew Israelites are, because I've got one of my Hebrew Israelite sisters on the phone right here with me, and I'm referring
yes.
to you. But the bottom yes. line is that the true Hebrew Israelite people happen to be the African Americans, if you will, as we're called, Black Americans, African Americans, that were sold off into slavery, okay, in the transatlantic slave trade, okay. And
yes.
when we get time, I could go through a systematic point by point work in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, where it's just it's
that's good,
and then to
back it up a little bit, to make sure you guys really understand. And if you have not heard of the Atlantic slave trade, Google it and read up on it. It was a huge thing. That's how we got here. For those of you that do know about the Atlantic slave trade, that's how we got here, right? And in our
that's
history
it.
Books, it says that Africans sold Africans, but that was just a technicality. But the United States is. That's not the only place that Judah is, because they sent slaves to Spain. They sent slaves to France. We're everywhere. I'm on, what's that, at Periscope. I don't really Periscope, but I got on there because really legit, you can talk to anybody in another country, even if you don't understand what they're saying. If they're live, you can see them. So I've been seeing a lot of us in all of these countries, and I know that they are Judah. So it's not just here in America, and there are still tribes of Israel in Africa. I don't know exactly where, but we all didn't get scattered. As I'm sure when you give your demonstration, you'll be able to show how we even got here and why, what the sins of Judah were at the time when the kingdom was split in half.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. And as a matter of fact, and see, this is not opinion here. As I mentioned earlier, I've been to Kenya. I have friends in Kenya.
Yes.
Stayed for months on extended trips. Let me give you an example here. For example, one of the songs that many people love to sing, Kumbaya, my Lord.
Yes.
Kumbaya,
yes.
Kumbaya. Okay.
Oh, my God, yes. Go ahead.
That is a very old Kenyan
yes.
Hymnal, okay, that's so old, they don't even know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years that they have been worshiping, notice the name, Kumbaya. And what that
right.
song literally translates to is come by here, Yah, come by here. And that's a worship song. We know that
wow.
In Nigeria, for example, there are the there's the Igbo, I-G-B-O, the Igbo tribes, they still
yes.
actually speak Hebrew. They've got Torah, the whole bit. We know that there are the Ashanti tribe, on and on. By the way, I will, if we
yes.
pick up on a number 2 broadcast, I have in my possession, okay, the actual archives of the names of every slave ship. Hear me carefully. The names
wow.
of every slave ship and the names of the cargo, the names of each slave that was written down because it was merchandise. So they wrote down the name, the given name of the African Hebrew, okay, that was captured. And I'll tell you right now, from looking at the actual ship cargo manifest, the actual manifest, you will see the names of Yehuda, just tons of African names that, you know, Yah and Yashara, Ben Yehuda, and just told all the way down the list. So these are some of the things that really give you chills up and down your spine when you realize, oh, my goodness, we've got African folk who literally worshiped.
Let me ask you, because, we are dropping bombs on people, like bang, 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 bang. So for the people that have never, ever, 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 ever heard this before or have heard it before and were skeptical or just outright rejected it, what place do you direct them to go to verify and show themselves approved?
Well, first of all, what they need, step number one, is when we come to the Father, we know that those who worship him must come in spirit and in truth. That's number one. Because if we are not truly hungry to be washed, refined, remade, hello, the whole bit. If
That's
we're
right.
not truly ready
That's
to be
right.
broken and
truly
taught,
seeking God, you're not really seeking God if you're not holding up your end of the deal. If you're not
cutting off
those things in your life that you know that does not make him happy, when you're seeking him, you got to stop that if you really want him to speak to you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that's step number one. Step number two is I would encourage those, here's step number two, and it requires no financial investment whatsoever, is that anyone with internet access, that plain and simple, you can get online and begin to, for example, I would recommend that someone download the Sefer, the Sefer Bible. The Sefer Bible, that's an outstanding work.
And what kind of Bible is it?
The Sefer Bible is actually a very modern Bible, but what they've done with the Sefer Bible, you are literally dealing with a Hebrew translation. That's number one. Okay.
So you're saying, are you saying that that's the European type of Hebrew that you were talking about before, or is this the original?
Oh yeah. You're getting a Paleo Hebrew here. You're getting Paleo Hebrew. Nothing watered down. Now, and I should clarify too. There's a term called transliteration. Anytime we have to move words from, you know, I'm not talking about translation. I'm talking about we have to move words and their meaning from Hebrew into English. That's where a transliteration is required. And
if they only have a King James Bible, what scriptures would you give them to start with until they can work their way up to the other Bible?
I would start with, and I'll be very specific here, I would start with Paul's letters to the Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapters 1 and 2, and I wouldn't go further than that.
Okay.
And I'll explain why. Colossians chapters 1 and 2, I would literally beg every pastor to revisit, okay, the book of Colossians, the first two chapters, and chew on it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
The reason why
you just said something. I'm going to chew on that tonight.
Okay. And the reason why is because nothing is more important than understanding who God is
That's right.
And it's so imperative that we see, this is huge what I'm saying here, we must see the real Jesus Messiah of Scripture,
yes.
Okay, and not the counterfeit.
Yes, so guys, let me just take a moment to expand on what you're saying. So, guys, what he's saying is it is critical to get it right. We cannot afford to say it doesn't matter for anything when it comes to the truth, because when you say it doesn't matter his color, or it doesn't matter who the children of Israel are, or it doesn't matter this or it doesn't matter that, you are taking a posture of sin. You're taking a posture almost like an enemy to God in that stance. So it's important that you don't do that, because when it is not the truth and it's false, then it's anti. And we have to understand that Antichrist is real, and we all have an imagination on how we think he's going to come, and people have told us how they think he's going to come. But the reality is, you can only take the word of God and prepare for it in the areas that it's not specific, and be mindful not to get caught up. If Christianity has a false banner of the Messiah, if Catholicism has a false Messiah and the false people, seriously, that's a ring the alarm offense. And so it's important that we take this serious. After the show, if you don't mind, Pastor, sending me an email of some places that you would recommend them to research what we're talking about. I have a ton of scriptures from the Old Testament and the New Testament from the King James Bible that I will be providing as well. But it's very
sure.
important that you catch what the pastor is saying. He's saying that we do not have the time to accept the counterfeit, because the counterfeit equals hell versus the true power and everlasting life.
That's right. That's right. I will go as far as saying, for example, in the epistles in 1 John chapter 4, okay, when we're verses 1 through 3, we cannot forget that when we're taught what that spirit of Antichrist is, we must remember that the spirit of Antichrist is a spirit that does what? It's a spirit that denies that Jesus has come in the flesh. Now, we have to look at that carefully, because a spirit that denies that Yahuwah, Elohim, has taken upon him the body of a human being, any spirit that denies that, okay, that's the spirit that's not of the Father. So in answering your question, this is why I'm saying nothing is more important than getting a revelation of who your Savior is, and the reason why, and we'll talk about it in a future broadcast, but the counterfeit European Antichrist is already here, and people are about to receive him. All the earthquakes and the storms and the volcanoes get ready to go off. He's ready to make his appearance, and because the Christian church does not know that the real Savior of the entire world is a black man, see, they're going to unfortunately embrace the false Antichrist and drift off just like the book of Revelation said they would. Satan deceived the what? The book of Revelation said the whole world. They're all deceived.
And for anyone that's having a hard time understanding this or receiving this, I ask that you go and read Deuteronomy 28. Read that entire chapter. Take your time. Read it in. And when you're reading it, I want you to look for who the children of Israel are. Because in Deuteronomy 28, he speaks about the covenant that our ancestors made with him. And if we broke that covenant, there were curses that would be upon us. But if we kept the covenant, we have tons of blessings. Well, you find out that we did not keep the covenant. And because we did not keep the covenant, we have dealt with some huge repercussions. And if you remember when the two kingdoms were broken in half, the north and the south, well, when Judah was carried away, that's when all these things started to happen. That 400 years, He said we would be in slavery for 400 years and that we would go into slavery on ships. If any of you that are listening, if you know anyone that knows of a people that had been taken into slavery on ships, please reach out to us. Inbox me. You can post it on a comment. I would like to know if anyone else has done that.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, no one is going to be able, sister, to come up with an answer because we
and
know.
And even if they did have the people that they came up with, they're not going to fit the same things that we fit. It's not going to happen.
Well, but literally, we know that throughout history, there has never been, period, any people group from the what we call the modern Middle East area, you know, ancient Nubia. There's
so far
never
away.
Been a people group that from that region of the world, no other people group were sold off into slavery via ships, exactly as Deuteronomy chapter 28 describes. The only people that were ever sold off into slavery via ships across the seas, of course, were the African Americans. And that's, if you will, the one of the strongest indicators of who the real Hebrew Israelites, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses are. I mean, that's a done deal right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So I encourage every single last one of you that are paying attention to research. Take the scriptures that will be posted up after and really, really dig in. Because if what we're saying is true, that is a game changer and a life changer. But you test it for yourself and ask God to give you the wisdom as you go through that. Now, I want to get on another topic, too, before the end of the show. But I know that there's this huge thing in a lot of Christian churches where they teach about the rapture. And I think it's pretty common in Christianity to believe that there is going to be this big occurrence that happens before the end of the world where everyone is going to be caught up, all the children of God will be caught up into heaven. What is your perspective on the rapture? What is your wisdom on the Word of God and the revelation in that?
Okay, well, first of all, again, turning to Scripture, and this is where it is so important to refer to the original languages. But in answering the question, number one, the rapture doctrine, is a totally false and erroneous doctrine, altogether bogus. Okay, now, with that being said, we must turn to Scripture. What we find, and here, there's three critical passages of Scripture that many pastors use to try to justify the false doctrine.
Yeah.
They'll refer to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16.
And
I'm going to put that out there because it has to be dealt with. Then they'll also refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and really like from verse 51 on down, What's so important to understand in the original languages is that, now watch this carefully, Christians have made the mistake picturing in their mind that believers are going to zappo, poof, disappear.
Yeah.
But when we look at the scriptures, for example, when we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and so forth, we notice that when Paul is explaining what's going to happen, now watch how easy it is where people misunderstand the scripture. We notice that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 6, I don't have a Bible in front of me, but we notice in reading the text, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven," watch this, "with a voice," now notice there's a dissension, "he descends from heaven with a voice and with a shout," "and at the last trump," the trumpet in Christ, and it's very clear. We look at the passage, and it tells us what? It says, "For the dead in Christ will do what? Rise first." Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it goes on to say, we who are alive and remain shall be, and here's where pastors make the mistake of inserting the word disappear, but the word disappear is not there.
Yes,
we read the word caught up.
Let's expound on the alive portion of that. It's very important that you take that into the right context. Will you go in to explain how you came to that?
Well, first of all, we come to that conclusion because when we look at both the Hebrew, the Greek, and the English translation, and just dealing with the English, it tells us that, and we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, you see? So we don't need to do any guesswork here because now we see, what do we discover? We discover two things taking place. We discover that the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's very clear. So we're dealing with a resurrection where we put on our glorified body. Let me just cut through the chase. The dead in Christ rise first, then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be what? Caught up together with them into the clouds of the air. Now that Greek word caught up, there's a Greek word there, harpazo. Now that means literally it means to be snatched, seized, and caught up.
Mm-hmm.
Now we notice something about that. It didn't say disappear. See, so we can't start changing the meaning of the scripture to fit our belief system. We can't do that. Notice something about that word harpazo. That's the same word we find in the book of Revelation chapter 1 when John on the island of Patmos says, he explained that I was caught up into the spirit on the Lord's day. See? And he goes on in verse 8 to explain how I heard behind me a voice as of a trumpet, et cetera, et cetera. But again, here's the caught up experience. See, we also notice in Revelation chapter 4 that John describes being caught up again. We notice in the book of Daniel, he describes his caught up or harpazo experience. See, several apostles and prophets have had similar caught up our translation type of experience where the presence and the power of the Most High literally enables them to shift time and space, if you will, and catch the vision
and also in the Word of God it states that when the end comes it will be like it was in the days of Noah when
Absolutely.
One was walking and the other was caught up, right? But the people that were caught up died. They didn't make it. In the days of
That's
Noah,
right.
Those people didn't make it. So why wouldn't we take that same tone and read it the way that the Word of God is read? We are not going to get away from the hour. I mean, God does promise a group of people that he'll come get them before the hour, but that's just a group of people. And we don't know, I don't know who that group of people is. And so we just have to prepare for it because if you do not believe that the tribulation is coming, you're not going to be prepared. And I really have to say that the kingdom of heaven is near. All the prophets that are in my life, and I don't have any false prophets. I have true people of God that are somehow in my circle, whether it's Facebook or in my life, and they are all saying the same thing. But outside of what they're saying, God has been saying it to me, and it's confirmed every time I see some random person like really trying to get the people to repent. So it is important to put the shenanigans away because if you're not ready for the terror, you might just denounce God and lose your eternity. We have to get our minds right because it's coming. Do you have any advice for the people during the end time events when the world is chaotic and we just don't know what the heck? In that time, do you have any wisdom that you'd like to leave us with before we end our interview today?
I want to ask a question. Very important. I need to ask you this question.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Mr. Brown, are you there? Hello?
Okay, did he accidentally mute his phone? Or
I'm not sure. Mr. Brown, can you hear us? Okay, well, when he comes back, we'll go back with him. But what I was asking you is there any wisdom that you would like to share with the people and how to prepare for what is rapidly coming to us?
Yes, I would encourage every believer to go ahead right now at this time in their walk as a believer, okay? I want to encourage every believer to go ahead and clothe themselves in the fullness of the Christ, the Almighty God. That's what they need to do, period, okay?
Yes, yes. So seek the kingdom of God. And you cannot afford to just keep seeking it the way that you have been, because it is a huge chance that it's not the truth. I mean, I know it's not the truth, but I just need you to take 2 seconds to care enough to want to read some scripture in the right context. Because if everybody just wants to be honest, many of us have not just read the Bible front and back and know every single thing in it. So you have to check and verify. I really want to thank you, Pastor Yehuda, for coming. Your words have been powerful. You have dropped a lot of bombs. And I thank you for speaking on not only your expertise, but your spirit. We really appreciate that.
Bless you. Bless you. Bless you mightily. Okay.
Thank
it
you
has
very much.
Truly been a pleasure and an honor to bless the people. Thank you.
Amen. You're very welcome. Mr. Brown, are you back? All right. Well, we want to thank you guys very much for tuning in. You can catch us here every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Each week will be a different topic, but we're always going to give you wisdom and get us prepared for what's coming. God bless you all. Have a good day. Thank you again, Pastor Yehuda.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.